All right, welcome back to Jared and Cameron's weekly podcast. We are at the point in the season where this kind of little lull period at the end of the Super Bowl before, you know, March Madness is, we're kind of getting to the end of this. Baseball spring training is really getting into fruition. We are finally seeing some big time players go off the board. Biggest, Manny Machado, of course. 10 years, 300 with San Diego. Marwin Gonzalez goes to Minnesota. So some of these players are coming off the board. We still have Craig Kimbrell. Of course, we still have Bryce Harper. But Cameron, I wanted to ask you what the impact of Manny Machado's contract will have. What do you think this does for him, the Padres, and the rest of the league?
Okay, for the Padres, it's a great deal. It's good for baseball. It's a fun contract. Padres really have nothing to lose with this. And you kind of think about it, like a lot of people have been saying, like the first 2 years where the Padres aren't going to win with Machado are going to be the 2 years at the end of his contract where he's not doing well. So, you know, like, I guess it works out to 10 years. You're basically just paying him to play for a team that's not going to be fully developed yet. For him, it's great. He got the $300 million. He got the money he was looking for. I'm not so sure if it was the team he was looking for. I just don't think he really cares. It seems like he just, you know, wanted the money. It doesn't really matter. And for the rest of the league, I think this is now, like, the high point, I want to say. But at the same time, we just saw Arenado get... It's the high point for years, right? And A-Rod's contract was a little bit different. But, like, even that's probably going to be considered the biggest... That's, like, still, to me, the biggest contract ever because that was 12 years ago. That isn't today, and baseball has grown to a certain point.
Of course.
And, you know, for Harper, what I think this happens with him is he's going to have to at least get $300 million. He thinks he can get marketed more. He thinks he's more of a marketable player than Machado because he's
Harper. But what about on the field? You think Bryce is at the level of Manny?
I think...
He has the potential, probably.
He has the potential. And here's the thing. Like, I think Harper was so distracted last year by so many different things. Is he going to get traded? Oh, is he going to do the home run derby? Oh, is he going to do the All-Star game? Like, all this other stuff that wasn't, like... Like, he last year was just a big waste of a year for the Nationals. And more importantly, Bryce Harper. Because, you know, it was a bad year for him. And now, look at him now. Like... He's kind of struggling in free agency. We're gonna get into March and he's not signed. March, I mean, and that's not pretty good
for anybody.
Yeah, it's pretty bad for everyone. What do you think about it?
I think that baseball players specifically are creatures of habit, where you get comfortable in something and it's your routine. You do this year in and year out, day in and day out. There is something to being there on the first few days of spring training. There is something to being there with the team at the beginning. It's kind of like, it's very rare that, you know, you get people mid-season and that's kind of like an added in boost. That's
yeah,
like a
that's
Kickstarter.
A boost, yeah.
This is like a, here we are, this is our team. I mean, I would want to like have my first team meeting with the people who I think are going to be with us. This is our squad
yeah.
for the year. For Manny, I think it's a good deal. I think he could be a really big face in the San Diego community. They lost the Chargers. They're not the biggest sports town. He could really do something for them. For the Padres, hey, it's really going to be on, like, can their prospects develop? Fernando Tatis Jr., a lot of high expectations for him. Urias,
they look good.
They have a lot of guys. They're going to need some, like... Hosmer's going to have to
pitching.
Play well.
Their pitching is awful.
They don't have pitching. They have some bullpen, but, you know, right now they're relying on their position player prospects. They got guys like Francisco Mejia. They have good players. One thing that I had listened to that I was interested in, they need a big starter, and I think a really big starter is going to be available soon, not just Madison Bumgarner via free agency, but I think Trevor Bauer will be available via trade after the year. So
yeah.
He's an option for them if they want to throw some prospects because they have like 15 top 100 prospects. Like, this is one of the greatest farm systems
ever. Yeah.
You know, we don't know if these guys are going to all pan out or...
Even if five out of the... Let's say even six out of those 15 guys
pan out.
That's a great... You know, like, we... You know, I think that this is great for the Padres. It's good for them. It's good for Southern California. Like, if you're not a Dodgers fan... And if, because there's a lot of baseball in California, but I feel like not everyone's like assimilates themselves with the Dodgers. Like, they don't love the Dodgers as much as you think. There's a lot of A's fans that are hidden, and a ton of Giants fans. But where are the Padres fans? And hopefully this will bring something to them.
I think the Padres have just kind of, it's kind of this like aroma, this, every team has like a culture, and right now their culture is just like, we're the San Diego Padres. Like, we are not, like, we're almost like not allowed to be good.
Yeah. Did you ever watch that series Pitch?
Yes, I did with the Pitch, girl. If you guys don't know, it was a TV show that was just, you know, centered around a woman pitcher, and she pitched for the San Diego Padres. It was an interesting show. What do you think about it?
No. I was just bringing that up because I think the Padres have been trying to market themselves. Like, that I read through that show that, like, the Fox asked for the rights of a team's thing, and the Padres were really interested in doing it because, you know, there's not really a team.
You have to build your way up some way. Yeah. If you're in San Diego, you know, okay, if you're in New York, the Mets, they are the New York Mets.
They're the second-half team, but they're still New York.
But they're still New York. They'll still always be bigger than the Padres. The Padres have to find a way to elevate themselves. So we also saw a free agent for next year. Next year's free agent class was supposed to be really good. Takes a really big hit with the loss of Nolan Arenado, signs a huge contract extension, 8 years, $260 million, highest AAV. I think it's a good deal for him. I think Colorado's a good place for him. He can be, you know, the Rockies, they had Larry Walker, but he was also a little bit of an expo. He was more expo. Yeah. They had guys like Matt Holliday, who left. Tulowitzki got hurt. Carlos Gonzalez kind of regressed quickly. Yeah. They haven't kind of had their guy. You know, who's the face of the Rockies? Nolan Arenado has now put himself into the hat of, he could be Mr. Rocky.
Yeah.
My only thing is with him, and I guess this goes for all Colorado guys, is I was looking at some statistics last night of his splits, his home and away splits. He is a 50-point better average hitter on the road.
No, at home.
At home. And yes, you can say that guys are better at home and that they know their home ballpark. They are more comfortable seeing the ball. Of course, players are going to be better at their home park. But that's a little bit too disproportional. Yeah. The home run numbers, he hits about 12 more homers a year on average at home.
So maybe...
I think he's still a great defender, a really good hitter. The only thing is, like, the last few years he kind of hasn't, you know, he didn't do so much in the playoffs against Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I mean, it was only like 3 games, but they got swept. I have some problems with them.
So maybe that's why he signed this deal. First of all, he's looking at the free agent market and going, whoa, I do not want to wait until, you know, March to get a contract done with the Rockies, let's say, or something else. So he's thinking, all right, I like it here. My home road splits can be used against me in signing a contract next year. If teams are going, whoa, like, let's say he goes for an interview in, like, San Francisco, where it's a huge ballpark, and they're like, oh, what about these home road splits? We're only going to give you 250 instead of 300. And then you sit there and you go, oh, wow. You go, okay. He kind of stops playing as good because of that, and he goes to if he went to another team. So he's thinking, let me get this done a year in advance. Yeah. Let me have the most per year, 34, right?
Yes.
34 per year. Let me have an opt out in 3 years. If I'm still raking, that means I could test free agency to see if I can get
a big contract from a bigger market team. Hey, it's good for the Rockies. I just don't know. You know, we just saw Colorado lose a lot of key pieces. You know, the last few years, all of their kind of, like, this kind of group, whatever you want to call it, of LeMahieu, Carlos Gonzalez, Charlie Blackmon, Nolan Arenado, Trevor Story. Well, they kind of, Story's on team control. They re-upped Blackmon and they re-upped Arenado. But they lost LeMahieu. Their pitching, John Gray, hasn't quite panned out to what they wanted to be. He had a really bad year. You can only be
Chad
so
Bettis
much.
Chad Bettis is not so good anymore.
You can only be so good in Colorado as a pitcher.
Yeah.
You know, there's a certain.
You can only be as good as Jamie Moore.
You can only have a certain ERA. Yeah. But I'm excited to see. It's going to make, you know, Paul Goldschmidt, he's going to get a big contract, whether it be from the Cardinals or somewhere else. Chris Sale, I mean, Boston, I think, realizes, like, you can't lose him. You got to bring him back no matter the cost. It should definitely be interesting.
Yeah, we see a lot of extensions by pitchers. Miles Mikolas. He just signed an extension. Severino signed an extension.
But Severino signed an extension that was through arbitration.
Yeah, through arbitration.
1 year
yeah.
of free agency.
Either way, we see pitchers. Because either way, we're seeing extensions. Because
one injury in your career is in doubt.
Like Hicks. Like his 7 years, $70 million, or yeah,
7 years, $70 million. Yeah.
7 years, $70 million for Aaron Hicks. Like at first, you're like, whoa, like
he's gonna be
36 years old, and he's gonna be 35. He's gonna be 35 years old when this deal is done. What are the Yankees doing? Like, to be honest, it's kind of smart because let's say he hits 35 bombs this year, goes into free agency next year, and signs a huge deal. You're getting him for pretty cheap. And, you know, let's say he does get hurt or it doesn't work out. But the Yankees are just trying to build a united ball club. They're thinking of extending Betances and Didi, all these young guys that they have. They want this young core to stay around.
I think they've realized, like, this is their group. Like, Machado
wasn't going to be in the group. Harper wasn't their group.
I think that they like their idea of, you know, Andujar, Gregorius, Torres, Burden, Voigt, Gary, Hicks, Stanton, Judge, and we'll see from there. Yeah. It's a very good group. It'll go as far as their pitching goes. They have the best bullpen. They just bring in James Paxton. I think you have to say that the Yankees are the favorites to win the World Series.
Of course, they're going to be the Vegas pick. They were probably the Vegas
pick. Not just
pick
the Vegas,
year.
But like, they are far better than any other team.
That's
like,
true.
Boston
got worse because now they don't have a bullpen.
Although
Kimbrell is still unsigned. That's why people are like, people forget Kimbrell's not on a balls club right now.
And he can make it a huge impact if you bring him in. Any team.
I don't think he's gonna get signed until maybe the first week before the season starts.
Yeah.
Or even during the season. Because there's no talks about him. I don't know. Maybe he wants to get it done. We don't really hear anything. We don't know what's going on.
Well, you had heard a lot of things early in the offseason about how he wanted to be like the biggest paid reliever ever.
100 million, like 6 years.
And I just don't know if you can guarantee 100 million to a relief pitcher because it's just...
Who also can't control. Like, he's kind of like a Chapman in a sense. Like, he throws really fast. He has a good slider. But you know, when he's off, he's so off.
Yeah, when he has trouble commanding that curveball, it's not enough for him. Now, we get into some basketball. We're at the point in the season where teams have to get it going now if they want to make serious pushes about home court advantage being playoff teams. We're seeing teams like Philadelphia having good stretches, Oklahoma, Denver, like they're really into it. But then we see teams like the Boston Celtics and Los Angeles Lakers, and they just look a mess right now.
Well, let's talk about the Lakers. LeBron, I think, has lost control of that team. There's no way he's in control of that team. And, people are talking about, like, his poster coming down. That was just a coincidence. Yeah. That was just a coincidence. Like,
where they won.
Yeah. It's just a coincidence that they're probably putting up a new poster. First of all. Second of all, LeBron likes to run his team a very certain way. Like we know that for a fact. He likes everyone to be professional and playing and serious. Like we saw that with J.R. Smith, like when he made that blunder, like there was no excuses for him. Like LeBron was pretty upset about that. And he's right. People think LeBron has conceded to losing and like making that feeling, but no NBA player, especially LeBron who wants to be the GOAT, self-proclaimed GOAT. He definitely wants to win. And this stretch that he's having, like, to be honest, I think the Lakers are a playoff team. What were they, the 4 or 5 seed when LeBron got hurt? When LeBron got hurt, it just all went apart. And he was out for too long.
You just can't lose to Atlanta. You can't lose to New York. You can't lose to Memphis. You can't lose to an Anthony Davis-less Pelicans team. I think that at some point they had to make the Anthony Davis trade. It was just too much. It was like way too much has gone on. If we don't make this trade, he's going to want out. You know, the players are going to be a mess. We're not going to have any idea what's happening. I think one thing that's come out is these in these interviews of LeBron James is he may be the biggest finger-pointing superstar in all sports history.
Yes, like, that's why he will people consider him.
He will never take the blame for, like, something. Like, he'll take the blame for, like, small things. Like, yeah, like, I can't turn over the ball because I need to be the guy to lead my team. Like, nobody can lead my team. I lead my team. But when we can't do, like, something big time, like, yes, LeBron can blame himself. Like, I didn't hit the game-winning shot. But it's, like, it's not his fault that they're not playing as a group.
No, he's, yeah, I see what you're saying. He's the type to say, like, it's my, he's the type to say, like, we need to be playing as a group. You know, I passed the rock in the final second of the game and we missed. It doesn't matter, right? But he's also the type to go, like, oh, my teammates, we're not playing as a team. We're not thinking. He puts the blame on his players last year. Like, when the Cavaliers won the Eastern Conference Finals last year, he was just bragging, like, wow, I've never had to work so hard in my life. Like, it's like, you need to calm down. Yes, MJ had a lot of help, but so did you for a lot of those teams. Like, so yeah. Did you. Like, you had help win the Heat, and that's basically all the times you've won besides Draymond getting hurt. Like, those are the only times you've won is with help. The two won a great,
I mean,
one of the greatest.
Pretty much everybody has won with help.
Yes. Well, yeah, that's true. But, like, the Mavs 11 is kind of different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the
no,
Mavs.
No, definitely. They are a very good team.
Yeah. It's just, like, it's a team sport. And I just find, like, I think the Lakers would be a really good team. Like, like, all those players are really good role players on another team. But they don't fit well with LeBron. It's weird. It's
yeah.
Really weird. Like I think of Lance Stephenson as a pacer. He's a pacer because, like, when the times he would have the ball is when they wouldn't
didn't
really
ask
have
too much of him.
Yeah, they didn't ask too much of him. They would just go, okay, play some defense, you know, pester a little, you know, and then make your shots.
You know, interestingly enough, Lonzo Ball is not playing. He's hurt. He has an ankle injury. He's their best defender, like, by far.
Yeah,
by far
yeah,
away.
He showed me a stat.
He is so much, such a good defender. And that hurts not having him and not having that playmaker. I just don't think that, like, you can kind of mesh a team of one-year vets with rookies developing with LeBron James. It just doesn't seem like an easy, especially in the West.
Because he was talking about how he wants to surround himself with smart players, right? Rondo. You know, he thinks Stevenson is smart. He might be smart. We don't really know. He acts like a fool a lot of the time.
But on the basketball
court. Yeah, but on the basketball court, he might be smart. Like, he wants all these smart guys to play with him. But then again, he just went to the team that had probably one of the youngest rosters. You know, like,
there, yeah.
Look, yeah. And also something that I was thinking about, like,
well,
how bad was the D'Angelo Russell trade? Like, to be honest, because he's an all-star. He's playing so good.
He's playing really well. The only thing that I question a little bit with D'Angelo Russell is what Magic Johnson questioned a little bit is, like, how far can D'Angelo go? Like, can he lead a team to the Eastern Conference Finals, the finals? Can he put a team on his back, or is he just a really
good player? You know, I'm saying, like, he'd be a really good player with LeBron.
Yeah.
Him and LeBron would be
although
really good.
Although I do
good.
Think he needs the ball in his hands a little bit. And I see a lot of his games and his numbers. He takes a lot of shots. Like, he's having a really good season. I'm really happy for him. He put everything that he had an issue with in the past. I really question, like, exactly what's his ceiling? I don't know how high his ceiling is. He's having a great year, and I'm very happy for him, though.
Yeah, I mean, coming up free agency, it's going to be really big talk. See where Kawhi goes. See where Klay goes. I think if Klay moves, then that Warriors team.
I don't think Klay's leaving.
I
think that they almost care about. They feel like they can contend, maybe not be the odds out favorite with Curry and Thompson, but those guys matter the most because no matter how good Durant is, it's always going to be Steph's team. It's always going to be the Splash Bros. They're, that's like, true. Really iconic.
Yeah, I people think say, like, people might not boogie out of a team or, like, oh, they added another Splash Brother. But, like, really, you think it's of the Splash
really,
Bro.
It's really Curry and Thompson's team.
Yeah.
I think that they'll be... They're cared about more. I think that they'll make Klay very happy. I think that they're willing to lose Draymond over that. I think that they're willing to...
I don't think they need Draymond anymore.
I don't know if they're willing to lose KD, but I think that they understand that that could happen, and it's much more likely to happen. When I look at Boston, I don't see how Kyrie stays there. I just don't think that this is what he actually wants. I think
it's not his team.
I think that when he left Cleveland, he wanted to be the guy who led a team, who had pieces like Gordon Hayward to help, like Al Horford to help, but it's not... Kyrie doesn't actually maybe want that. Maybe he wants to be a...
I feel like he's not enough of a face. Like, he's not enough of a face. Like, he's not Westbrook. Like, Westbrook is a face. You think of, like, elite point guards. You think of Westbrook and Harden. Well, Harden's a shooting guard, but...
But you definitely think of, like, Westbrook and Lillard.
Yes,
and
yes.
Those guys.
Like, even I consider Lillard to be better than Kyrie.
I think Lillard is for sure better than Curry.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying, like, Lillard plays in a smaller market, yet it's some ways it's like...
I think Damian Lillard is the second best point guard in the league.
Behind Curry?
Behind Curry. Curry, Lillard.
Curry, Lillard, Westbrook.
I don't know about Westbrook. He's a little inefficient for me.
No. This year, he's not doing too well, but...
Really good rebounding guard. He passes the ball really well.
He's going to average a triple-double again.
But sometimes he loses his team a game. Like, yeah. I don't know how many times Kyrie Irving has actually, like, lost a game for the Boston Celtics.
Well, like, for example, I was watching the game last night, and, like, you know who lost the game for them last night?
The whole team. They just did not play well.
No, it was the whole team, but also, like, in the fourth quarter down the stretch, it was, like, Raymond Felton, like, doing the most stupid fouls.
For Oklahoma?
Gary Harris, and it was, Gary Harris, I think. And it was just, I mean, I don't know. The Celtics are regressing. The Lakers are regressing. Nuggets are doing well. I think Isaiah actually plays well on their team. He doesn't mind being the sixth man, I don't think, too much.
I think he's just getting back into himself.
Yeah.
But I think I've said it many times. Nikola Jokic, I think, is the best passing big man since Will Chamberlain.
Yeah.
He is the best low post passer I've ever seen. He knows he's very crafty. He knows his limitations. He knows he's not the quickest guy out on the court. He knows he's not the most agile guy out there on the court.
He has great eyes.
He really works well. He's a really good player.
I think he's patient, you know what I mean? Like, Embiid, I feel like he's always rushing.
You know, he knows that there's a pass there, and he doesn't make that pass when he could. Because he could make that pass, but not a great pass. He waits till it's perfect to make that play. He really understands how to play, I think.
All right, last thing for NBA. You know, we were talking about this. No, Antetokounmpo is playing really well, like really good. And we're sitting here and we're going, is LeBron the greatest anymore?
Is he the best out
there? Is he the best in the league? You say no.
I say LeBron, if I have one game and I want somebody to lead it for me at 100%, like, I know LeBron may not be at 100% right now, but like little groin injury, if I have one player to win one game for me, like Giannis or LeBron, I'm taking LeBron. However, over a season, I may take Giannis because he can hold up with the wear and tear. But in the playoffs, I think I'd take LeBron. Like, if I were the Bucks, who would I rather want, Giannis or LeBron? I think, to start the playoffs, like, if you could tell me LeBron could just fit in, like,
anywhere,
I'd take LeBron. Like, if neither had played football.
Here's the thing. Antetokounmpo is so good. And I remember...
He can get anything he
four
wants.
4 years ago, he was on the cover of ESPN. He was in ESPN Magazine. And it was like, oh, this kid is going to be the next great thing, the Greek freak. And it was like the skinny kid with a crazy wingspan of like a osprey. And I was like, oh, this guy's going to be cool. Like, I didn't think he was going to pan out to be who he's turned into. I think LeBron is still the best player on the court. You have a point here that, like, he can't mess around anymore and just do whatever he wants to get his way. And that's true in a sense.
My thing with Giannis, though, is, like, this postseason will make Giannis who he is at the moment. Because Giannis has been, like, the 7th seed, the 6th seed. Like, if he beats Boston, that's a big deal. Like, that'd be an accomplishment. Like, he wouldn't have to do much else to, like, validate, like, he had a good season. He beat, like, a few years ago against Toronto, almost beat them. Like, that would have validated his season. My thing, though, is, like, the game is, you're down 1 point, and they're not going to let you get to the basket. Can you pull up and shoot?
He can't.
Can you hit the free throws to win you a game? He hasn't been a shooter. He really hasn't been a great shooter.
LeBron can't hit free throws either.
LeBron has, but Giannis hasn't been in the pressure of, like, it's a lot different when you're the guy who's, like, trying to win and, like, oh my god, if they win, it'd be, like, a upset versus, like, staving the upset. The Bucks are most likely going to be the number one seed because Toronto is contempt with not being it. They don't play Kawhi every day. It's going to be, can Giannis lead this team to where they should go? Not to where, you know, oh, it'd be amazing if they did that.
Yeah.
Can Giannis do that? If Giannis can't do that this year, he's young. I'm not saying he's, not a superstar. But, you know, at some point you have, if you want to be the guy, you have to be able to, you know, LeBron, it didn't happen his first year in Miami. He was supposed to beat Dallas. He didn't beat Dallas.
He didn't beat Dallas because, like, he but basically then he beat disappeared. Oklahoma. He basically disappeared. I don't think Giannis is the best player. If anything, it would be KD maybe, you know, or someone else.
KD.
I feel like LeBron, literally, there was, like, this one video of LeBron that I saw on an Instagram website that was pretty funny. They just followed LeBron, and he was literally walking everywhere
defense,
on the court.
Yeah.
On the court, and just he was holding his man and letting everyone else, like, play really hard defense. And, you know, like, I think that's part of his injury. Part of me thinks he puts too much of a burden on himself. Like, if let's say he waited out another 2 weeks before he came in, they would not make the playoffs, but then you could go, oh, LeBron wasn't there for half the season. And then you'd be like, oh, yeah, LeBron wasn't there for half the season. Yeah, that's totally fine why the Lakers didn't make the playoffs. You know, they're not a playoff team without him. And, you know, but, like, let's say he, because of when he came back, now he had to prove himself that they could make the playoffs because they were only a game out, you know?
Exactly. You know, he's got, like, he has to beat the Kings. He has to beat a team in Los Angeles that traded its best player, Tobias Harris. Like, he should be able to do these things, right?
Nope, it's not going to happen. I think, let's see how far the Clippers go. I think it's going to be interesting Western Conference playoffs just because of how good the teams are always.
Yeah,
and, you really? Know, Eastern Conference playoffs is going to be weird.
It's
Charlotte
going to
make
though.
It. He going to make it.
I don't
Dwayne
know if
Wade.
I care about this. The 6, 7, 8 seeds, like, they're kind of like a bunch of, like, mediocre teams. But, like, you got 5 teams. You really do. Like, I honestly could see any one of those 5. You know, I could see any one of those 4 teams.
4 teams, not the Celtics.
I'm sorry. I don't. I know.
Pacers.
I don't think a Victor Oladipo-less team can do much. Can they win a round? Against
if they get the 4
seed. If the season ended today and they are the 3 seed. They can beat Brooklyn.
They can beat Brooklyn.
But I don't know if they can beat...
I don't think Brooklyn is going to... I think Brooklyn is going to start... I don't think Brooklyn will be good in the playoffs. They're just not built.
I don't know if they'll be good. I think they're a little young, a little
they're,
like...
They're young, and I think... I like the Nets. I like them, but I'm just waiting... I just want to see Dwayne Wade play one last season.
Yeah.
In the playoffs. All right, thank you guys. That was an amazing episode. No interruptions. We'll see you back here next week for our final podcast. Hopefully, this will be up on Apple Podcast by the start of March. So, thank you, everyone. Hope to see you soon.